Thank you for choosing to listen to this message. At Coastal, we believe in changing and enriching lives through the power of the Word. We pray that this sermon would be a blessing to you.
There is a way that seems right to man, but the end is in death. I think we should have a PowerPoint for that. Hallelujah. Valerie worked until 2 o'clock this morning working my PowerPoint, so I'm going to have to give it some time to pop up. There is a way. There is a way that seems right. There is the long way. And there's the wrong way. Some people have gone all over the religious spectrum, and it's been a long way. And then there's also a wrong way. There is a straight way and a direct way that you can go to Jesus, but there is also every other way. Not all roads lead to Rome. Not all roads lead to the kingdom of God. So there is a choice. I can walk this way, or I can take this way. And it's a little more awkward and a little bit more different. So sorry, guys, that are on live. I just took a different route. I just took a road back that way to get to the sound desk. There are different ways, but I tell you what, our Bible tells us, and Jesus is writing this because it's red letters. I always say that he's writing it. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth and the life, and no one can come to the Father except through me." Okay, don't walk in the furniture, right? Just by the way. But these are brand new shoes, so they're very clean, and so that's why I could do that. All right? But the scripture says us that Jesus says, "I am the way." Not one of the ways. I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through me. And everybody says, "Well, that's very exclusive." No, no. It's very inclusive. Whosoever will follow Jesus will have access to the Father. I think that's very inclusive. So it's not very exclusive. You see, because we need the one judge that can pardon our sins. And the one judge we need is the way that gets us to the Father. That judge has a son. His name's Jesus. He's the one that's able to pardon our sins. And I experienced the reality of this with a guy who was friends with us in South Africa. His name's Greg Kreyer. He grew up a little delinquent. So by the time he got to his teens, he had a criminal record that you didn't want to have on your resume. And so he now comes to the place where he's born again, and he wants to just serve Jesus, and he wants to come to America to have some Bible training and stuff. And because he has a criminal record, there's no chance you're going to get a visa to come to the United States. It's very difficult, even if you're very squeaky clean, to get a visa to come to the United States. Let me just let you know that. And so he wrote a letter to President Mandela, the president of our country then, and says, "Please, can you pardon me? I'm a good boy now. I'm married and I've got kids." And he gave him the whole song and dance. And then one day I walked in, and he walked in with me, and he just grabbed his mail and he opened up. And he says, "President Mandela has pardoned me. It's as if I'd never had a criminal record before." And the reality of this came to mind, understanding of being pardoned. And so he was pardoned, and he could then get his visa and come to the United States. Romans 10:13 says this: "Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved," shall be pardoned. And it's so important that we understand that. So our heart is to understand it. We need to finish strong, but we have to do it God's way. And so, you know, if all of us are on doing that reading plan, you'll find out that Paul's on trial in Acts 24. And he is accused of belonging to the sect called The Way. And so when he gets up to defend himself, he says, "Yes, I am part of that way." And he explains what the way is. And so it's important that we understand there is a way. And Paul says, "I'm living the way." And there is the way. And the one of the ways, the way is to life. The way to life is salvation. So you first have to find your way to life. Anybody says, "Well, I'm living and breathing and I'm happy." No, no, no. Until you connect with Jesus, you do not have life. You have a form of life, but you don't have life. And 1 John 5:12 says, "He who has the Son has life." So it's important you understand that we need salvation. The other way is for life. For life to come to you when you step into salvation is a sanctification process. And that process, and what Peter quotes is "be holy as I am holy." And you say, "Man, holy, it's kind of that thing I can't get to." No, I'm just saying that you need to set yourself apart. as God deals with your different situations, we are all over the planet as far as where we are in our spiritual walk with God. But as He presses a button in your life, it may be immediately as you get born again saying, now listen, that language is not cool. That's what happened to me when I was as a military man. I gave my life to Christ. And you can tear the wallpaper off the wall with the language you use to train guys. And after 2 weeks, I said, God, this is not cool. I'm not kind of called your son. And I'm talking like this garbage can here. It's ridiculous. And He helped me change my verbiage. And within 2 weeks, I was instructing, getting the same results, but not using that flowery language, because He started working on me, the process of sanctification. For life to come to me, I've got to get a lot of yuck out of me. And He works from the inside out. So we need to understand that. And in the way in life, while we're walking in this life, there is service. We come now and we belong to the King and the Kingdom. And we are now understanding that we have a service. And the scripture I got there, Matthew 20:28, is Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. And He is the Son of God, became the example for us that we are now saved to serve. And so it's important that there is that way. It's important that we understand that there is a way to live. And what I want to drill down on today is talking about God's principles in life. We need to understand His principles in His life to finish strong. Principles need to be learned, need to be lived. We need to understand them so our believing changes and then our behaving changes. And so you can't carry on living the cesspit life that we were before as sinners and think that, okay, it's all going to go well. No, there's principles that we need to embrace. The principle is defined as an accepted and a professed way of action and conduct. There is a way that that we need to walk in the King, with the King in the Kingdom. And in Christ, there is a way of conduct and action. As ambassadors, as representatives of the King in the Kingdom, we need to understand. In Acts 17, it says, for in Him we live and move and have our being. So we are representatives of that. It requires us to hold one's life to a set of principles. Principles set in place by God for man. And so, I don't want to say this pulpit will just dump all that on you. No, as you journey in life, you'll realize, man, there is this principle I need to embrace. This principle I need to walk through. This principle needs to be in action in my life. And so, Solomon, who wrote Proverbs, in Proverbs 3, verse 1, it says, my child, never forget the things I have taught you. It's like the Father, God the Father, speaking to us this morning. He says, my child, never forget the things I have taught you. Store my commands, my ways, my principles in your heart. If you do this, you will live many years. We're talking about finishing strong. And your life will be satisfied. You know, some people go through life and you can see that they're just not satisfied, because they're just out of step with God. And God's saying, listen, just get in step with me. Get in step with me. Never let loyalty and kindness, other translations talk about mercy and truth, leave you. Tie them around your neck as a remember, as a reminder. Speak English, Rod. Write them down within your heart. Then you will find favor with both God and people, and you will earn a good reputation. There is consequences as we step into the principles of God. He's not being a stickler and being a taskmaster. Master, He wants you to understand there is a way to synergize and symphonize with Him that brings a great, great fruit in your life. And then you'll find favor with both with God and people, and you'll earn a great reputation. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will, His way in all that you do, and He will show you which path to take. He said, Pastor, I don't know what path to take. But just have that relationship with God. Walk with Him, and He will you'll understand, and the path will be made clear. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Man, there's a lot of people that are impressed with their own wisdom. Put it all over Facebook and Twitter. I mean, I'll call these, they're just twits, really. I mean, just, and they believe their own press report. They really believe their own press report. Instead, fear, honor, reverence, love, cherish the Lord and turn away from evil. Because evil is lurking at your door. We can go down that sin track anytime we want. Because our will is more powerful than God. We can say no to God and head off down the track. But no, we hold restraint because we're trusting in God. And then you will have healing for your body and strength for your bones. It's kind of an inward thing that's happening. Honor the Lord with your wealth and the best part of everything you produce. Wow, he's placing God in his rightful place there. And then you will find your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with good wine. There is an outward happening. Verses, oh, how come this is this? Because obviously God's got special favor for them. No, no. There's certain things that you walk that causes this to happen, principles that you need to invest in. And this is a list of ways of principle and principles of instruction that help us finish strong, church. Helps us. Why do we hang around believers? So we could learn this stuff. There's two ways you learn. Your mistakes or the mistakes of others. I have 40 years of mistakes that you can learn from. So I would be hanging around my shadow and asking a whole lot of questions because why must you go through the headache? So why are we looking at, I want to see God, principle of provision. Because if we want to be these fearless and faithful people, we've got to be a people that have resources. We have what it takes. We have powerful prayer happening in our lives. We have the means to help people, the wisdom of God. We can because we plugged into the source. So we need to understand the principles of provision. Why provision? Because we've been given a mandate, church. We're given a mandate to establish the kingdom of God here where we live. And it doesn't say we just need to hang around until Jesus calls us. A lot of us do that. So, okay, I'm saved, and I just got to hang around for the rapture. No, no. God says, occupy until I come. Occupy means there is an action that we need to get involved. We need to influence and affect the surrounds that we're in. And so we need to do that. So, but we need provision for the vision. We need provision for the commission. And there is a way that we need to understand to get that provision. God's principles of provision work totally against the way the world runs. I mean, just across the grain. It's like brushing the cat the wrong way. And it says, now you got to, the world says you've got to get everything you can, hoard it, be mingy, be stingy, just keep storing up for yourself. And the kingdom is completely different, completely opposite to that. Acts 20:35 says, the Lord God said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And so we need to be these vessels, these conduits. And why are we like this? Because man's in his fallen state. It's that part of your soul that needs to be renewed. You've got to get the stinginess out of you. You've got to be able to understand who's your source. And so we understand that who's your source. We need to know who's our source. Because when we know who's our source, it checks our attitude and it checks our gratitude. When we know who's the source. And God is our source. Don't get full of yourself and think, man, I've got this all under control. The very air you breathe, God has provided. The very beating of your heart is because God has put things in place for that to happen. The earth remains in orbit and it doesn't spin one inch out of one way or the other. Otherwise, we will fry or freeze. It stays right where God said stay. And he also tells the ocean, you stay and keep your boundaries. You understand, God has this in place because he said. There is plant life, animal life, human life, because God said, let there be life. Let there be light. He spoke, and that's why we have it. Colossians 1:15 says, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created, and he's supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heaven realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see. So when we start getting full of ourselves and think, well, we have everything and we do everything and we make everything, you better wake up and smell the roses because you're barking up a dead tree. We are here because of his grace and his kindness. We need to remember that. So what's amazing is about God's source. I love this. He's got a one-track mind. He's got a one-way mind, my God. The only way that he knows is abundance. That's the God I serve. He only provides abundance. So God's provision is multiplication. He doesn't do addition. He doesn't do fractions. He just does multiplication. That's my God. And you think so? Okay. Well, does one grain of seed ever only produce one grain of seed? I try to think of all the different crops that happen. You put one grain and you got a kernel, you got a head of grain. It multiplies. It's designed to multiply. God has designed us to multiply. And as humans, we're designed to be a blessing. And he says, be fruitful and what? Add? No, be fruitful and multiply. That's the God I'm wired to. And he wants us to be kids that are wired the same. That our provision comes from multiplication because there is a principle that we have embraced in our life. The principle of multiplication. We have been made in his likeness. We're to be the source and the resource. We need to be a reflection of our dad. Some of the scriptures that back this up, it says in Proverbs 11:24, give freely and become more wealthy. Be stingy and lose everything. The generous will prosper, and those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. Wherever you are, you can be generous. Wherever you are, you can be a conduit of blessing. Wherever you are. Sometimes I don't have it in my pocket or in my wallet or my checkbook, but I do have encouraging words. I do have things that I can bring and help. The principle of multiplication allows us to be vessels through which divine favor flows. We are the ones that can bring multiplication to other people's lives. Luke 6:38 says, give and it'll be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into you. Man, that's the kind of dad I hang around with. He does that. I release what I have, and he keeps just saying, okay, just keep pouring in more. There was a guy, and it's not in my notes, but a couple that was in Bible school with Mark and Dee. And his whole thing, he gave away what he had, come back, and there's another check in the mail. Eventually, he was giving $1 million away. He'd come back, and his wife said, my house is empty. So what are you doing? So a young married couple down the road just moved in. They didn't have any furniture, so we just gave them our furniture. And then somebody pitches up by the evening and said, listen, we bought a householder stuff. We changed our plans. We're not going to return it. And he got householder stuff. And he lived like that all the time because he understood what it is. So I want to just look at the principle of multiplication so we can have our faith guides lifted up. So we can be the generous ones that are providing and being providers around here. Because why? We're King's kids. We need to reflect him. That's what we need to do. And God wants that. I'm not talking about get more for me. Hey, you get more for others. That's what I want to be. I want to be a blessing. So let's talk about the principle of multiplication, working through the feeding of the 5,000. That's bigger than you think. Bigger than you think. Let me read the story. When the apostles returned, they took Jesus. They told Jesus everything they had done, because obviously he sent them out in twos and they started ministering. Demons started leaving. Sick people were healed. And they didn't. And Jesus hadn't even gone to the cross yet. He just sent them out. They went with his word, came back, had this great report. He was so excited. They slipped quietly away from with them towards the town of Bethsaida because he wanted to pick up all the juicy stuff. What happened out there? Because it's exciting for Jesus to see his dad at work through other people. He gets excited when you guys get moving with him. Very excited. But the crowd found out where he was going. Must have had Twitter or Facebook in those days, eh? And they found him. And being Jesus, he welcomed them and he taught them about the kingdom of God and he healed those that were sick. Later in the afternoon, the 12 disciples came to him. Okay, I'm getting to you, their stomachs were growling because this is what inspired them. Send the crowd away to the nearby village and farms so that they can find food and lodging for the night. There's nothing to eat here in this remote place. But Jesus said, you feed them. My stomach's growling. I'm looking for a McDonald's, and you're telling me I've got to feed this whole mottled crowd that's hanging around here. But we have only 5 loaves of bread and two fish. Guaranteed Andrew went into Judas Iscariot's petty cash, got some money, and bought this lunch off the young boy. I think that's what he did. And he answered, "Or are you expecting us to go and buy enough food for this whole crowd?" For there were about 5,000 men. You know what that represents? A dad for the home. So there were 5,000 families, which kind of works it up to more like 20,000 people, conservatively speaking. And Jesus replied, "Tell them to sit down in groups of about 50 each." So the people all sat down. Jesus took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, looked up towards heaven and blessed them. Then breaking the bread, the loaves into pieces, he kept giving the bread and the fish to the disciples so that they could distribute to all the people. They all ate as much as they wanted. And after the disciples picked up the 12 baskets, they had takeout bags. They could take it out. Here we see the principles of provision, of multiplication, of abundance. And you say, "Well, that was Jesus." I'm telling you what. I've seen this work. We've gone to a place and there is a need and we only got a handful of stuff and watch God multiply stuff. You just understand. But let me just tell you, the very first thing has to happen for multiplication to take place. It must be blessed before it be multiplied. And that's what Jesus did. Some of the translations says he gave thanks. Other translations said he blessed it. He took what he had and looked to the heavens. Why? He placed what they had and positioned it, what they wanted, and set it apart and said, "God, we're acknowledging you as the source of this fish, as the source of this bread. You're the source. If you acknowledge it and set it apart, you bless it." And that's what you do with your with things that you want to give. You set it apart and say, "God, I've got this amount, or I've got this thing, or I've got this situation, or I've got this time. I'm setting it apart, and it says it requires to be blessed." And so you set it aside, and you recognize God's position in what you've got in your hand. If you recognize God in it, it happens to be moved from just something you have to something that's blessed. If Jesus said, "There's the fish and the loaves, don't feed the 5,000. They would have got just to the first 2 people, knowing their appetites. They would have only got to the first 2 people. But we've got to recognize. We need to understand that we can come to Jesus with what we have. What do we have? We have time, we have talent, and we have treasure. Do we take that and set it apart and say, "God, I have a portion of this time, I have a portion this in talent, and I have this in treasure, and I wanted to set it apart"? That's what happened here. Took the bread and the fish, set it apart, and presented it. Because our time and our talent and our treasure, it's something that's been given to us, and we need to steward and manage it according to the Father instructions. That's what happens. If you want it to be blessed, if you want it to be multiplied, I can just take my time, my talent, and treasure and just do what I want with it. I can. But you don't get the multiplication and you don't get the situation where it affects the kingdom of God. Important that you understand that. Replacing what we received in the hand of the one who multiplies. The key is with thanksgiving. The other translation says that he gave thanks. I want you to understand this. Thanksgiving is a very, very powerful part of our faith that we need to have. Thanksgiving, because it continually acknowledges who the source is. Just have a look at the 5 loaves and fishes. We hear the miracle. What about the 10 lepers that came in Luke 17? 10 lepers were crying out, "God, Jesus, would you heal us?" He said, "Just get up, go and present yourself to the priest." And as they got up to go, because it was an act of their faith, they got up and went, they found out that we healed. One of them out of the 10 came back and fell at Jesus' feet and gave thanks. You know what happened to that one person compared to the other 9? The other 9 went away healed, still missing an ear, still missing fingertips and everything else. But the one who fell at the feet of Jesus and gave thanks walked away completely whole with all his fingers, all his toes, all his earbuds, because that's what happens when you thanksgiving come. And then Jesus comes to Lazarus, his best buddy, who's now died. And he's been there 4 days, really smelly now. And so what does he say? He says, "Father, I thank you that you hear me when I pray." He brought thanks into the prayer. And what happened? Lazarus was raised. What happens at the Last Supper? He took bread, and then he gave thanks, he broke it. And now you and I have eternity. It's something about giving thanks. And church, I want you to be very mindful of that. Jesus, it comes to a place where it gets blessed from that point onwards. That when we sit down to eat, we give thanks to God. Why? Because it's Him that provides. I watched Valerie's sister, because we sat down halfway through the meal because we forgotten to pray. She says, don't worry, I prayed over the groceries when we brought it into the house, because she's always had one answer up on us. But it's what Matthew 6:33 talks about. Seek first the kingdom of God. Church, I'm talking about principles of stuff that Val and I have walked. We've walked the stuff. So the principle of provision is getting it blessed before it will multiply. You've got to get it blessed before it multiplies. The second thing is, it has to be given away before it can be multiplied. People say, oh, I want it blessed. Yeah. I mean, the disciples could have had it all blessed and they could have eaten it themselves and it would have been shared quite well amongst just 12 of them. But the other 20,000 people would not have been blessed. The other 20,000 would not have been blessed. So it requires you to give it. Say, Father, this, I acknowledge you. I thank you for it. I thank you that you bless it. And now I'm going to give it. And when you give it, that's when the multiplication starts happening. And 20,000 lives got fed that day. I got challenged with this, and Val and I got challenged with this when we came to the United States for the very first time in 1986. We came from Zimbabwe. I had never done an international flight in my life. Nathan and Daniel were 1 and 2 years old. Well, I may say it's 1.5 and 2.5, but I'd say they're just 1 and 2. And we arrived here, and we came to support a ministry, Robert Leiden. People may know him. He's the one who wrote God's Generals. He was 21 at that stage. He arrived. We stayed in his home, in his apartment. And then he flew away for 4 weeks to go to the Iron Curtain, behind the Iron Curtain. And we came and stayed in his home and got orientated to America. And we were all big eyes. But what we had to do, and most some people don't understand this, when you come from another country and you come to a first world country and a first world currency, they will only allow you so much currency in that country because they've got to look after it. Because if you want to buy anything, you've got to have US dollars and the country won't give it to you. So we were only budgeted $1,000 to go for a year to the United States. $1,000. And we had traveler's checks. Who remembers traveler's checks? Only about 1% of the audience understands what traveler's checks are. But the traveler's check, we had 10 $100 traveler's checks. And the first 4 weeks, we had to kind of spend a whole bunch of that. And so, anyway, we found different churches. Tulsa's got a whole lot of churches. We went to church while Roberts was away. And so it came down to going to the Maybe Center, to Billy Joe Dalty's church. It's now called the Victory Church. And they were in the Maybe Center, the basketball arena in Oral Roberts University. And we were there worshiping, and they got up and said, listen, we've just bought land, and we want to build. We've got a building fund, and we really want you to pray for it. Ask God what you can give towards it so we can start. So I leant over to Val and said, how much should we give? Because I'm always for anything that's going like that, I'm going to give something. And in my pocket is the last $100 traveler's check and a handful of change. And Val writes $100. And I sense God saying $100. Between us and Africa is a return ticket and a handful of change if I give the last $100. But 8 months and $100 ain't going to go too far. So I think, okay. And the father says, okay, are you going to eat your seed or are you going to sow it? Down. And you got it now. So I showed Val, I said, this is it, eh? We're going to hand our last $100 check and I've got a pocket for a change and that's it. So we said, oh, we're going for broke now. So we're going to, but we actually didn't. We understood and we put the, signed the last check, put it in, and we went back home. 2 days later, Robert said, listen, Rod, I need you to travel with me to Minneapolis, Minnesota. We're going to minister there for about 3 weeks. We've got to leave Val here with the kids, everything else. And I'm thinking, I'm going to leave her with what? Because I'm leaving. And anyway, we left her. I'll pick up the story as we go forward. But I just want to tell you, in all those pictures, she's very thin. But the key thing was God said, will you eat your seed or will you sow it? And so we sent it. 2 Corinthians 9:10 says this, now may he who supplies seed to the sower and the bread for food, supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruit of your righteousness. So I want to just say that God takes the time that you sow, your talent that you sow, and your treasure that you sow, it's seed, and there is a principle that starts kicking into play when you understand that He's a source, I'm releasing it, I'm giving it, I'm spending my time helping this person or doing whatever it may be. But you got to understand that when you do that, the law of multiplication starts kicking in and starts. Val and I have always tithed, always given, and always, I mean, at every one of these building things all around the world, we've been involved in it. So I left Valerie in Tulsa, Nathan and Daniel, 1 and 2, and I go to Minneapolis, Minnesota. I know it's just up the road here, but it was a lot further than I expected being an African. And when I got there first night, obviously I'm traveling with Robert. I'm his driver. I'm getting him from one church to another. And we get to this first church where we're going to spend 3 days. And he's already told him, he says, Randy, I'm bringing Rod from Africa. And he's black Trinidad man. So he's excited to meet Rod from Africa. And then this lily white boy pitches up. He was so disappointed. He says, what happened to you? I said, I got bleached white from your cold up here. That's what I got happened. And so I'm busy putting out Robert's books, selling his all his material. And boy, I'm busy. So I pack everything up. And so I hit the service. I'm standing there next to Robert's worshiping and getting to the end of the worship. And then Randy says, Rod, come up here. Come and just stand here. I said, this guy's from Africa. We're going to hear about it. But anyway, I just kind of sense God wants you to bless him. I don't know what, some of you guys got words for him. Some of you guys are going to pray for him. And so I got people coming to pray for me and all embarrassed because I'm in this 1,000 people and they were coming, not knowing that they'd put an offering basket at my feet. And they handed it to me and they said, this is to help you stay here. It was $2,500. And they said, the only thing we want to do is if you can get to see Disney, we'd be so happy that you can get to see Disney. And that happened Sunday, and here, Wednesday's offering, $2,500. And I watched God provide for Val and I for a whole year. And the people said, oh, you just go on a preaching itinerary and you'll get money here in America, no problem. And Valerie says, we will not prostitute the gospel. So the only time I ever spoke was a full gospel businessman. That's all I did. Never got a cent for going there anyway. And fine, I didn't expect it. And I watched God provide cars, clothing, and for the whole year that we're here. Because I watched the principle of multiplication come into my life. So I know. Nah, I was once young and we got to Disney. Hallelujah. Proverbs 3 says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruit of your increase. And so when we bring our tithes, what are you doing? You're saying, Lord, this belongs to you. Because actually it is. He owns actually everything. He says, but I'll let you live on 90%. You just give me 10% so I can get the church going, and people and buildings and all the other missionaries and all those things can be. And I've watched people every year say, I'm going to increase it by 1%. Next year, I'm going to give 11%. Those who don't know, tithe is 10%. 11%, 12%. Now I know that they are living on 10% and they're giving 90% because that's the law of multiplication that happens when you're in God's business. And it's exciting to see that. So tithing is not a law. It's a principle of stewardship. I don't want you to think of it as a law. It's just something that you acknowledge God in your life in that area. And when I bought it, and I've presented it to the storehouse. After that, it's the very first check. Very first check went in this morning, right in there. And I know that everything else is blessed after that. Why? Because I know that I understand the principle of stewardship and multiplication. And so we had these two bankers come to our Bible study, our connect group, our home group, our soul group. And I've got to use all these names because everybody uses different names in South Africa. Their wives were coming to our life group, and so eventually we had a cover edition. So the wives found an opportunity to invite their husbands. They were both bankers, and why they really wanted them to come because every male that came to our group got thrown in the pool, whether you had a 3-piece suit on or you're just your boxers would throw you in the pool. And so this one guy, he knew about that, so he made sure that these two bankers arrived. Anyway, they got doused in the pool and eventually got acclimated and became part of the fold. And then we told them about tithing. And bankers and tithing don't go together. They can't, because they're all figures. 1 + 1 must equal 2. And so Harry and I said, okay, listen, you step out, you tithe, and Harry and I will stand guarantee. If you run short this month, we'll contribute back as much as the tithe. The first month goes past, comes back. He says, amazing thing happened. I needed 4 tires. Guy came to me, he says, ordered the wrong tires. Will these work for you? Yeah. He says, yeah, you can have them. He says, and this one thing. And after 4 months, they came and they let us off our commitment, because they were fully persuaded. It's far better to be that to be obedient. And they never looked back. And I saw a picture of them the other day. They've aged somewhat, but they're still faithfully serving God. And so you got to understand, you cannot outgive God, church. You cannot. And he is in the multiplication business. And it's just wonderful to see that boy, his lunch multiplied and fed 20,000 people. 20,000 people got dinner that night. And so it's wonderful to understand that. And so when we come and we give our lives to Christ, just imagine the multiplication that happens there. I stand here 44 years having done that 44 years back, and I can vouch that my life is rich and blessed. Is it smooth sailing? No. But I know who holds my hand through the ups and downs in the valleys and on the mountains. I know where my God is. And so I want to encourage you, if you give your life to Christ, it becomes that blessing that multiplies. It's called life forevermore. Life forevermore. And so if that is you, let's just bow our heads right now and let's pray and ask God. If that's you, just say, God, I want to give my life. I'm going to give this to you. And I thank you that as I give it to you, that you'll bless it and multiply it. If that's you and those that are listening online, it's just a response saying, Jesus, I give you my life. I give you all my comings, my goings, all my decisions, all my plans. I invite you to be my Lord, my leader, to come on board and just direct me. Jesus, take the wheel, is what you say. And so if that's you, just pray. Say, Jesus, I believe that you're the Son of God and that you died on that cross for me and you paid for my sins. Today, I invite you into my life. I take you as Lord. I thank you that you forgive my sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You've just jumped into that principle. Be warned, multiplication is coming your way. Be warned. And so, church, it's exciting to be a part of a God that is in the multiplication business. That's what he wants. He wants you to be such a blessing to people, because he loves to bless people. That's his nature. And so as I want to close, I want to just bring our attention to something that I want to ask you to invest your treasure in. I want you to invest your treasure in. And that's towards our jolly mortgage. And it has gone up, if you notice, but I will show you the figures. Look at the figures there. Last week, it was $152,596 we owe. Now, we only owe $133,77. You know how much? Do the math. Woo! So I just need 9 more of those weeks. And we're done and dusted. And it's not to feed 5,000, even though we could feed 5,000. It's so that we can take that money that we're paying towards this to put towards people and employ a couple that can help. Val and I are running this race a long time. And for us to go to the next phase as a church, we need the next input of leadership and support. And so that's why it's nothing about pay increases or getting any fancy. I want you to just have a look at some of the pictures here, church. Have a look at, that's the building we got. That's the building we got. We were in here many years, like 7 years before we decided. And then we purchased it, and then we did this to it. All right, that was an upgrade. That was a good beach upgrade. Okay, yellow. And then we did this, and now this is where we're at. And I think over and above all we've put towards the mortgage, we've still been able to do that. You've got to trust us. We're doing the best we can stewardship-wise. Now, you business dudes and dudesses, you need to understand that you've been given the wisdom and the means to get us ahead here. So I'm not going to be apologetic to ask you. I need that red ribbon. blowing right through the top there. I want it done. Please. Please. So what I'm going to do next week, you're going to have pledge cards in your little pockets in front of you. Listen, I'm not going to put pressure on you. When we needed $100,000 to go to the bank, there was a lot less of you people sitting in these seats. And there were some guys that were very cautious about me making an appeal for that. So I told them, I said, listen, in 2 weeks' time, we're going to take up an offering. If we make $100,000, we can go to the bank. If I don't make $100,000, we can't get to the bank. We can't get the mortgage. That's it. Didn't say anything else. 2 weeks' time, I got up. I said, guys, remember, before I preach, we're going to pass the baskets around. We need the money. Jerry, go and count the money and tell us after I preach what the amount is. Well, being the very obedient guy he is, he didn't wait till after the service. While I'm halfway preaching, he comes waltzing down the aisle. It's done. It's done. It's done. So I said, okay, we'll have to wait till the end of the sermon to find out what's done. So we kept us all waiting. You guys are givers in this home. You guys that are watching online are givers. And I trust the Jesus in you. And I know that the next phase of where we're going as Coastal is going to be so exciting. So many lives are going to be touched and changed. Val and I, when we started in Zimbabwe in the church there, as soon as they opened the bank account for the building fund, we contributed. When we got to Tulsa, we contributed. When we went to Minneapolis, we contributed. So everything, every soul that's been touched and saved or changed in all those locations, in my account. Hallelujah. I'm going to find it on my account. It's like owning a microscopic part of a Bitcoin. It's going to be to my account, okay? And then we went back to South Africa, involved in the building fund there. Came here. We started that. I had a lead from the front. Gave all our savings. I think it was $10,000. We had saved. We had bought it across. Put the whole lot in. I said, I'm going to lead from the front. And again, I know that figure's already jumped because of what I've chucked inside there. I'm committed to this myself. This pastor is going to be committed with his wife to make sure we get to have this as an asset that will affect the kingdom of God. So I'm excited about that. Putting the pledge cards in, and next week you can take it, pray over it. But Sunday the 30th, I'll just pass the baskets around. We can pick it up, and it'll be done and dusted. Amen? Can we have faith in the house for being done and dusted? Listen, there's some of you that have got a lot of stuff in storage that's been there for like 10 years. You can sell that and save your amount for storage every month and bring the whole lot, including what you sell inside, to the storehouse so we can get on and do this. I'm just giving you ideas. I just know this, church, before I close in prayer, if you take care of God's business, He'll take care of your business. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, woo! Musos, you can pop up just a happy song to go home with. So, Father, thank you. I thank you that we want to be involved in the principle of multiplication. We want to be able to be that resource because you are our source. We want to be that resource